Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, enjoy a message from Identity that is already in progress.
This is a very serious message for me today. Just do me a favor and just stand to your feet. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, you're the King of Kings. You're my King. You're my Lord. I heard a rumor that you live in me. I ask you to reveal that to me to such a dimension that it changes me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is titled, We Are One. I'm going to be very vulnerable of where I've come from, where I've been. I'll probably get in trouble later because I'm going to expose some things where Susie and I have been and where we've come from. I'll try to be gracious as possible. But this week is, I watched the news and I saw the behavior of our nation. I asked, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to participate in healing this? You look at the anger, the hurt, the confusion. You look at the lack of honor and respect. And if you're not careful, you'll go to hopelessness. Or you'll be stupid and think you're victorious and lose everyone. And so I was crying. I was praying to the Lord. And I was kind of, you ever done a fearful prayer? Lord, I know you can do it through him. And you review your calling, you review what God called you to do. You start reviewing the process that you engaged in, and now you evaluate, there's some God here, but 22 years ago there was no God there in your own life. And the Lord says, son, look at the own principles of how I healed your marriage. Look at the own principles of how I healed your heart with racism. Look at your own principles of how I gave you the wisdom and the love and the ability to get one son off crack and another one on the straight and narrow road. Look at those. It started there. And he put his finger on something. In August of 1993, Jesus Christ walked through the wall. He introduced himself to me as a king. A loving king that threatened to kill me. I know that's an oxymoron. And he said, you put your hand in my hand, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he pointed, he said, I'll let hell have its way with you. And I went into the pits of hell, and I heard hell, and I smelled hell. I heard the screams of hell, and I chose Jesus. Okay? Some of you met sweet baby Jesus. I met the Lion of Judah. And there we go, and we worship about that today. It's not a coincidence that he is a Lion of Judah. He's not sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger waiting for you to like him again. And Susie and I had a destroyed marriage. She didn't like me. I really didn't like her. And I fell in love with Jesus and found out he loved her more than I did. And through God's divine nature, he said, I'm going to heal your marriage and I'm going to make you guys one. How can you make us one when I was a liar, cheater, abuser? How could you make us one when she was a this and a that? And I got the whole list. And I'm going to be real sweet. How can you heal this? How can you turn the abuser into the lover? I've had the visions. I had the promises. But I couldn't put wheels to my wagon. This is 1993, and we didn't move over here until 1994. So from August of 1993 until October of 1994, I was in my hometown. It wasn't until February of 1994 that Susie made a commitment to work on the marriage. God doesn't need much of your commitment. He just needs some of your commitment. Amen. Amen. And somewhere between February the 14th of 1994 and in October of the same year, we went on a vacation to North Carolina. Now, I had been a certified racist and God had changed my heart. He was dealing with that. I had been an adulterer, a whoremonger, an angry man. And he had gave me a new heart. And he promised to heal my marriage and he promised to heal my children. And I was wrestling on how did you do this. And we went on vacation to Asheville, North Carolina. And I could, there was this long, we're on the mountain. It was the darkest night in the world. It was pitch dark. You couldn't even see the path, the roadway. It was so dark. You ever been in the woods and realize what dark is? And I've been, you can't see your hand in front of your face. But I'm like, okay, that's grass. Nope, this is, and I'll keep walking. And you're walking up the hill. And I'm praying and I'm asking God, God, how are you going to do this? She's home, but she's not home. She's home, but her heart really doesn't trust me yet. I heard the Lord in the pitch darkness say, I am God. I am spirit. I am light. I am love. I am life. And all of a sudden, out of the darkness of those mountains of North Carolina, a ball of light came right toward me and hit me in my belly. And he says, and I live in you. That's how I'll do it. And I walked. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was probably four before I got there. Everybody else was in the cabin. And I walk with this experience that he lives in me. That was his answer to all of the stuff. That was his only answer to all of the problems. I am all these things. But the key to it is, I live in you. I went back to the cabin and out of the darkness, there was a spring in my step. There was a hope in my spirit. The problem was that he didn't tell her that. She was still mad. She's still angry. She still didn't see the God in me. Although there was a light in me and nobody could see it. I was the only one that knew it. And I could quote all the scriptures except I still had a mean edge. That was good. Some of you need to write that down. Scripture with a mean edge is lightless. As I was trying to go through this, I came back to the church and I found the Bible that God told me to buy in 1993. This is my first Bible. It's kind of wore out. He says, Charlie, I prayed a prayer to the Father in John 17. And I'm trying to fulfill it this day. Let me show you how I'm going to do it. And we're going to take John 17 just like I did that morning. The wee hours of the morning. And I took John 17. It was his prayer. How many things did... If Jesus prays a prayer, do you think that he plans on it to be answered? Come on. And I started separating Jesus' voice from the Father's voice, from what was me and what is us. And I came to the conclusion that if I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and he is in the Father, then I'm in you. I didn't have you on my mind. I had her on my mind. I had my oldest one that was battling drugs on my mind. God, I didn't know about you all then. It was my world. And I had to start seeing the Christ in her and quit being a horse's ass to her. I had to find the Christ in that little boy that I had abandoned him and his mother, that was broken. And I had to find the light in him, and I had to find the love in him so he could get off his own drugs. And it took a few years to do it. And I'm telling you, if we don't catch this, our nation is going to come apart at the seams. Say it. We are one.
We are one.
We are one with God in Christ by the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Say that again. We are one with God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I have come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. The world doesn't see him. We want God to smite the world. They can't see him. And judgment's going to start in the house of God. Where's the house of God? He said, when I showed you this, son, and you got rude to your wife, whether you agreed with her or didn't agree, your rudeness, I judged you for your attitude. He was trying to take the edge off because love always wins. And let me tell you something. Most of the times that I wanted to fight with her, I was right. But it was my attitude that made me wrong. You just need to be quiet, Susie. I'm preaching. You'll have your turn to preach later. How many know that you can say the right thing the wrong way? But you will see me because I live. You also will live. What did he say to me? I am light, I am love, and I am life. And I live in you. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. Who's talking here? And you in me, and I in you. In that day, say that. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. And you in me, and I in you. Does that make us one? Every generation has been and will be confronted with a fresh revelation of God's goodness. And what we do with that revelation will determine if we will become critical and bitter or loving and free. It will transform you or it will offend you. That's a good word right there. And every generation has had it wrong. His goodness is always greater than your ability to believe. You think you got the market on his goodness because you're all that in a bag of chips? Are you kidding me? Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If when you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ, where? In God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And many of you will say Christ is in you. God shows up, and you get mad. Because the love and the goodness of God in you will confront what's offended you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurities, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked. Once walked. Why are we still walking in them? when you were living in them. Don't tell me that you can live in them and live, have him living in you. Figure out what's living in you. Kick some people out. Kick some things out. Kick some ideas out. And let him have full residence. But now you must put away all things. Like what? Like anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Really? Who's he talking to here? People that are supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost? Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here's the problem. Dan, I'm going to quit lying to you and talking to you about who you think you are, and I'm going to start telling you the truth of who you are. Quit lying to the people around you about what irritates you and find out the God in them, the light in them, and talk it out until it comes out. We keep lying to people because of their hatred. We keep lying to people because of their attitude. We keep lying to people instead of pulling their identity to the surface. Because we don't have the light in us enough, and we don't have the power of God in us enough. We can't get past their own skin to tell them who they are, to help them get to where they're supposed to be. We want to criticize, judge, and complain instead of going, enough's enough. I'm not lying to you anymore. This is who you are. Now act like it. That just felt good. Was this about you? I hear your wife going, get him, God, get him. Listen, Kingdom School was all over this today. Kingdom School was all over this today. You put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek nor Jew. Circumcision, uncircumcised, barbarian, I don't even know that name, slave, free, but Christ is all. Did I see that right? But Christ is all and in all. Really? Do you believe that? Christ is all and in all. So then you just have such bad eyes you can't find God in anybody? Or you think you're the one who has arrived and they haven't?
Come on.
But God, I love my wife. Yes, but you really don't love her enough to love her. You just want to love her in your heart. You don't want to actually go any effort to prove it to her. He lives in you.
Yes, he does.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Be thankful. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know, it's amazing how everybody will preach that you got to love me, brother, when they've been the horse's ass for a month. They have a quick revelation that, and then they go, love me, brother. And then they keep repeating the same thing over and over again, and you realize that's just their identity. And here's the problem. If you're not going to get your God-given identity, I can't help you. I'm going to show you what it's supposed to be, and it should change your behavior eventually. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, if the church can't do it, what are we doing expecting a nation to do it? We got people angry over an election. We have nations who don't have one. We have nations who don't even have a choice or election. And we're fighting over which one ours is doing. Here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. What lives in you? John 17:1. I want you to look at these scriptures. I want you to go home and do this for yourself, because listen, I've done it on that original Bible. I've done it in two Bible programs. The problem is that you have Jesus praying John 17 about us being one. Here's the problem with this whole thing. We think that the Jews were stupid people. How come they didn't get it? Jesus comes up and starts talking about his father. Right? This was a society who said, we have a father. His name is Abraham. Who are you talking about? They did not have the concept of God being a father. Their only concept was Abraham was our father. Jesus brought a whole new system to light. And they were confronted from your rules and regulations that you've lived by are no longer valid because now we have a father and it's in his presence that you get your rules and regulations. And they went brain dead. Who do you think you are calling him father? Who do you think you are calling him father? Here, I'm sitting here and preach about the Christ in the Father and Christ in you, and we don't even get that. And that's been a foundational Christian teaching for 2,000 years. We're talking about people who didn't even have 2,000 years of teaching, and Jesus is displaying the Father. Jesus is saying, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in you. These Jews were messed up because they went from rules and regulations to presence. It went from a moral code to a broken heart. I followed the rules, God. Yeah, you're right, but you didn't do it in love, so now you're wrong. See, I had to go back to John 17 about 10 years into this, when the marriage was healthy and the kids were halfway decent. Since my daughter-in-law's here, they were really good, sweetie. You got the best of the bunch. He was a mama's boy. Anyway, yeah. I used to be the president of the Mama's Boy Club, then he outvoted me. Listen, here's the problem is that I had enough of God in me to heal a marriage. I had enough of God in me to get some sons on the right track. The problem is I had now started building my ministry and I became religious and left God out of me. Then I got this religious mean edge to me and almost lost her again. And when I realized that we could be heading toward another crisis, I went back to John 17. John 17 will screw up your religion and will get you back into relationship with the Father. The same Father that created her will whisper, I know what makes her tick. We tell a story that I was driving down the road one day and the Lord spoke to me and said, go get her a Diet Coke and a Snickers, was it? Something simple and stupid. I'm like, yeah, that's not you. And I did it. She was amazed. I was even more amazed. So just the other day, she's like, you're not talking to God a lot. Why? I told him to have you stop. And I'm like, what is he, my grocery list? So what happens to that little voice that used to whisper when I was working on it, to now I'm not working on it, I can't hear it. Let me talk to you. How come I know the principle, but then I get off of it? Because religion says I've arrived and you haven't. John 17. When Jesus, I put Jesus in green, I put the Father in yellow, and I put us in another color. Chartreuse, something like that. Listen to this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. How many are sons in here? How many believe that because you are a son, you are qualified to carry his glory? See, religion says God won't share his glory with none other. You're not a none other. You're a son. Let's get out of that religious thinking. You're supposed to carry glory.
Amen.
Why? Because my daddy does.
Right.
Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may be glorifying who? You. When God releases his glory on you, he knows it's his glory.
Amen.
He says, that's my kid. That knucklehead Charlie hit one. I did hit a home run one time in Little League. It was the greatest thing. It was perfect timing. I hit a home run. Everybody was so happy. I can still remember it. I'm like, it was so cool. No one knew but me that I closed my eyes and swung as hard as I could.
That's true.
Talking to a professional baseball player, sometimes you got to close your eyes and just swing like hell. But I'll never forget that. I felt guilty for taking the glory. The Lord reminded me this week. He says, I didn't mind you getting the glory. And you didn't have to tell everybody you closed your eyes. I'm not ashamed of giving you glory when you think you didn't earn it. Isn't that what grace does? So you just need to close your eyes and swing. Since you have given him authority over all flesh. See that, all flesh? All flesh, that's us. Since you, Father, have given me, Jesus, authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Separate the personalities of the Godhead. You're going to find out real quick you're in their midst. And this is eternal life. That they... That's us. Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. You know what he's saying there? I'm done. It's finished. I'm not going to the cross again for your sins. Why do you keep going there? Why do you keep going to the cross for your sins when he's already finished with your sins once and for all? Because you don't know who lives in you. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. See, the God in you is not the Jesus that walked on the earth. The God in you is the one who created the earth.
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead lives in you. Not a little dabble, do you? Catch this, guys. Listen. When that beam of light, that light came when he said he was light, and he hit me right here, my whole theology changed. What do you need from me? I need this. He goes, I'm not there anymore. I'm here. What do you need? Oh, God. That was painful. Oh, God. My son Jason is on drugs. Oh, God. What about my boy? I know you're feeling, son. I know you're feeling. But I promised you. I promised you. Do you believe my promise? But God... Susie thinks I'm so religious that she's blaming me that he's running to do the drugs. I know. You can take this. I've been accused wrong too. But God. Yeah, right here. But when he hit his wall and had to make a decision for life and death, he told his friends in a drug overdose, get me to my daddy. He'll know what to do. Why? Because I had to walk the halls. Talking to God. I've been talking to the light. I've been talking to the life. I had been talking to the Creator that can make anything happen on his behalf because he promised me his favorite son. If you don't want to take the title, I will. I'm his favorite. You can't walk around with your hand on creation and not think you're not his favorite. I had with you before the world existed. Let me tell you something. Creation is still beneath him. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. Yours they are, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Do you realize if you're keeping Jesus' word, you've kept his word? You don't have a half Jesus in your belly. You got the fullness of the Godhead. Now they know that everything that you have given to me is from you. Jesus is saying, I did what you called me to do in your name. I've done everything you called me to do because you sent me. And they know who sent me. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. How many believe that God sent Jesus to do what he finished on the cross and finish all of humanity's sin problem? You believe that? I am praying for them. Who's praying for you? I am praying for them. Jesus is an intercessor. He starts with intercession before he starts tearing up foundations. Why? Because he is the foundation. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in where? Put your hand on your belly. Can you find Jesus going, "Woo, I'm glorified"? Can you hear the Father whisper to the Son? Whoo, they're getting it. We're being glorified because they recognize what's living in them. Come, come, catch this. When the bills aren't getting paid, how are we going to do this, Jesus? You got that big meeting, you call 72 intercessors, and then you realize, I got one inside me. What did he say before I asked for my wife's opinion? What did he say before I called my daddy? What did he say before I needed Pastor Pam's pump me up? What did he say? We keep going to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and you got God living in you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Are you in the world? And I am coming to you, Holy Father. This is Jesus praying a prayer for us. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be. I figured it out. You know why we're not one? Because we don't believe we're one. If you really believe that the Godhead lived in you and the Godhead lives in her, then you would be one. See, because I did the, well, I know in a marriage covenant, the two become one. He says, then why don't you marry me? See, the problem, we want the benefits of a sugar daddy. We don't want to be a bride. Because we really want to be stimulated instead of pregnated with the purposes of the kingdom. Okay. That they may be one, even as we. I put the we in red. The blood makes us all one. Are one. Well, I was with them. I kept them in your name. I read that and I said, what are you saying? He goes, I'm no longer with you in that same dimension. But I'm with you in a different dimension, and you won't even pull on that dimension to protect the ones I've sent you. Rereading this week, Lita, I knew that. I went back there and I loved on her. I told her what God showed me. I had a dream. In the middle of a dream, I had a vision. Is that a vision dream? I don't know. It works. But she was like Superman coming in and out of a... She'd go into this prayer room and she'd turn into Hulk. She was bad. She was like like a WWE fighter. I'm like, that's not her. She had this cute little face on her. I'm like, that's not her. But she's all muscle bound. And then she'd come out of the room. She's all sweet and petite like she is. I'm like, what the heck? Did she go back in there and be like the Hulk? So in this, I'm going to finish giving you what I haven't finished everything I had. And she'd come back and she's so, I mean, if you get around me, you know, you're afraid to hug her, you might break her, you know. She's that sweet and petite and cute, but she's the Hulk. So as, you know, we just move some leadership around in the prayer ministry, and I think this has something to do with it, because I don't know if we really value our prayer team as much as we should. They make things happen. Where's your prayer team? Oh, that's right. It's right here. And so she goes in and out of this about 3 or 4 times. And finally, I just looked at her and I go, you're trying to tell me something? She goes, yes. The phone booth has turned into a bigger room. And I saw Superman coming out of the phone booth and going into the prayer room. The phone booth is expanding. Why? Because the people are catching who they are. They're catching the power of their prayers. And I look around this congregation. Only God could use her as such a petite, sweet, gorgeous, afraid to break her, hugger. And just she was just, I mean, scare you, muscle in the spirit. And the problem is we keep looking at people in the flesh and not in the spirit. And we dishonor them and disqualify them. Because first of all, we don't know who we are. We don't know who lives in us. And therefore, we don't know who God says these people are. Oh, I feel better already. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you've given me. I have guarded them. I have guarded them. So as a leader, the Lord says, did you take up the responsibility of guarding those? See, that's part of that prayer. It's part of being a leader. Are you guarding them? Jesus is not guarding anymore. He's putting that on us. And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. This is green, I am coming to you, the Father. And these things I speak to the world, that they may have, I can't even see that, my joy. That's my joy. That's green, my joy. Jesus' joy. Do you realize most of us aren't even happy about getting saved? Therefore, we have no strength to do what he calls us to do. That's a whole nother message. Let's read this again. But now I am coming to you, Father, that these things I speak to the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in, where? Themselves. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. People that do not have joy, people that are not thankful, are miserable, and always fighting the devil, don't understand the kingdom. They have no idea what lives within them. That's a whole other message. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Some of us are trying to escape. And Jesus prayed that we can escape. So let's quit trying to escape and let's take over. But that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I see what's going on this week. I see what's going on in social media. I realize God did not send me into the world to riot and participate in all the shenanigans. He did not send me into the world to make certain situations my soapbox. He sent me into the world to display his love. He sent me into the world to have wisdom and strength and love and be able to break the bonds of wickedness in the world. The problem is I'm dealing with mostly Christians that haven't figured it out. He sent me into the world. And the same way he's going to send me, he is sending me into the world to win the world, is the same way I had to figure out how to win her. My nastiness, my attitude, my disrespect and my lack of honor would have never healed my marriage. And I was the one who had to find out what lived in me and pull from his grace and change my thinking. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, consecrate. Can't read that. Green's not the good color. Consecrate them, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I read that. Lord, how come I'm not sanctified in truth? He says, because you're so narrow-minded. You're so narrow-minded, you don't look at the big picture of what I'm doing. He goes, I'm quoting you scriptures about the world, and you're more worried about Volusia County. You're more worried about your personal wallet. You're more worried about your relationships. You're more worried about people's response to you. And I've said, if you'll take my principles that I gave you, that I'm living in you, that I'm light, I'm love, I'm life, that you could win the most broken marriage of all, that you, those same principles, you can win the world. The problem is you don't want to connect to the world of that dimension because you don't want to get that dirty. People don't want to get dirty. They think, oh, I love Jesus. I'm not dirty. You're mean as hell. And it needs to stop and figure out what lives in you. You can't spew 1 minute and bless God the next. My attitude cost me more nights of romance than the plague. That's as easy as I can say it. It was so obvious that when I'm sweet, she knows what I want. Is that ridiculous? That when I'm sweet, you think I'm manipulating because I really don't love? Then you wonder why she feels like a prostitute and not a wife. I told you I'd probably be in trouble when I got done with this. Yeah, but I'm not married to you. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Do you see what he said there? Father, I'm asking. He's like, Father, I'm asking for those that will come to know me from her. From her. From him. From you. Who have you run into? That Jesus says, remember that prayer I prayed? That there was going to be a bunch of people who personally didn't know me, but then they knew the ones that knew me, and then they did, and now they're spreading love, and now they know me. That's how we're going to win. Who believe in me through their words, your words, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. This week I've been wrestling this, and you ever hear your mom's voice? I'm not talking about micro-nancing and trying to talk to dead spirits. That thing. You know what I'm talking about. Man, I got radically saved. My mom only lived a few years. I got radically saved. My mom passed away in 97, and I didn't have a lot of time with her, but I had enough revelation. I'm prophetic enough to tell her some things that I didn't think she knew. And I would just, I had to preach to somebody. I was like Jeremiah, fire shot up in my book. My sister Margaret, I called her a month or so ago. I think I shared this. She said she needed some encouragement one day, and I called her that day. She goes, I told God I was looking for an old tape machine that had an answer machine with a tape. That I called her 20 years ago and preached for 18 minutes on her voice machine. Somebody was going to listen to me. I had to get this out of me. That's how intense I was about revelation. But I can remember telling my mom, but God, Mom, God, the Holy Ghost showed me this. And blah, 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 blah. And Mom, this is that. And she'd say, that's not all that loving, son. But no, Mom, listen, this is truth. This is truth, Mom. Going down the line. Okay, there's some truth here, but son, that, how can I explain this? What? She goes, my Jesus don't act that way. You can have truth. You might want to hear your mama go, dude, my Jesus don't act that way. Even with truth. See, it's the letter of the law will kill. But it's the Spirit that gives life. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Read that. I in them, say I in me. And me in me. And Jesus in me, that sounds better, may become perfectly one. Jesus' prayer was for you and him and the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to be perfect, mature, one with him. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Do you know how much the Father loves you? If you don't, it's because you don't know who lives in you. Because if Jesus is in you, the Father's going to tell Jesus how much he loves him. Some of it's going to spill over into your little brain. How can God not love you if Jesus lives in you? How can the Father not say, you're my son, when the Father lives in you? Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world. It's an invitation to the heavenlies. Where's Jesus seated? Where is that at? Then where's heaven? In me. I'm a carrier. I've been affected. We keep looking for the Garden of Eden. Look, the Garden of Eden. I just got three eyeballs looked at me. Are you getting this, or am I just having a good day? I'm feeling funny. I quit crying. I'm about to get funny again. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these that you have sent me, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make known that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The problem is we got love living in us and we got other stuff coming out of us. And claim to be righteous and holy and, you know, all that. You are one with God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Now listen. I have wrestled and fought with my own emotions this week. Because I have a responsibility at a leadership level, at a national level, because I am concerned for my nation. And I asked God for a prophecy, a word, something that would confound. And He took me back to this. And we'll give you the very keys and principles I gave you to win your wife back. And it will be the same keys and principles that you can use to win the world. And you can sit on your religious soapbox all you want to. But I don't believe God's going to do it any other way. And if He has to wait for another generation and another people group to do it right, you never start a time, never start a fight with a timeless God. And I want it to be me. If I can win them in my marriage, if I can win them with my sons, and listen, my marriage isn't perfect. And say, God, someone's going to take this, and they're going to pick this apart about my oldest kid, and they're going to pick this apart about this. What they're gonna... You know what He said to me? He said, yeah. You can let that stick to you if you want it. Then you'll have to have a religious response to it. And you'll harden your heart. Do your two boys know where you stand? Yes. When they hit a wall and they got to find me, do they call you? Yes. That's validation enough. Susie said it best this morning on the way to Kingdom School. We've had crisis in our nation before. And the nation always ran to the church. We are in a crisis in our nation, and now they're running to the street because the church has never been in the streets. Religious people go to do an outreach in the street instead of going to the street and showing our love. And then we bellyache and we gripe and complain because we don't like what we see. But we're unwilling to get dirty to find out where the hurt is, where the pain is, and where the lie that's being believed is. And unwilling to go through the process of bringing healing. I got to tell you who I preach to today. Me. And I'm supposedly no better. I have enough success with these principles. I have trophies on my mantle of my heart, of my marriage. I have trophies of my two sons. I have trophies of people that have come and asked for my wisdom, my counsel, and my wife and I have given it. And it's beneficial to me to know that God's with me and God's doing things. But there are countless that I give my wisdom to and I give my advice to and they just ignore. And He's going to do the principles of love. It's the only way we are going to win each other. It's the only way we're going to win the world. Stand to your feet. Put your hand over your heart and your belly. You know, your spirit man is right here. Guess who lives there? The fullness of the Godhead. Say, Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you live in me. The fullness of the Godhead lives in me because of the power of the cross. and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I ask you to change me to live by your principles, that you are spirit, you are light, you are love, and you are life. Give me the ability to reproduce this in others, starting with my family, starting with my church family, my work family, and those that I meet. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.